More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, I just can't even. Feeling burned out? We're going to help you bounce back. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we are back from vacation here live and happy to be talking with you on our show about burnout today. You know, it's kind of ironic, in some ways, coming back to a show on burnout after vacation. But, you know, the connection here is that a lot of times people feel like the best way to deal with burnout is by getting a break or going on vacation or self-care or those sorts of things. Unfortunately, when you're experiencing real burnout, that doesn't help at all. It's great while you're away.
Right.
But then it all's just sitting right there for you when you come back.
Yeah, and there's that. You had a family member who always sort of had this experience of when she was coming back from a vacation, even, you know, on the transport home, whether it's the car or the plane or whatever, she would start to get very blue, very, very depressed, sometimes even cry, because the awareness of that kind of burnout feeling, or that not being able to be away again for another year or whatever it was, sort of would always hit her. And there are a lot of folks who feel that way, where whether it's a Sunday night or it's coming back from a long weekend or coming back from a vacation or whatever that is, we all have, you know, those Sunday scaries at times. But when it feels intense, when it feels overwhelming, when there's that kind of sense of dread, maybe even, that's when we know that just some time away isn't going to do it all for us.
And of course, you know, burnout doesn't just affect jobs or roles. I mean, it can be about relationships too, where we just feel burned out about working on a marriage or the family life or even our spiritual life.
I'm talking to so many moms who are burned out from being with their kids and would do just anything to be able to, like, push a button, put the kids on freeze for a while so they could go and get some time to themselves.
And the thing about that, again, I mean, and it's always good. You know, self-care is important, and, you know,
usually,
being able to get that break is absolutely critical. But a lot of times, you know, you get that bath, or you get that walk, or you get that time, you know,
out or whatever. It is.
And you come back and you just feel even more burned out because you just start living for the next time you can get away.
Right.
And it becomes this repetitive cycle. So if any of this is sounding familiar to you, give us a call, 877-573-7825, and tell us, are you feeling drained, you know, by your job, your marriage, your kids, your spiritual life, or some other relationship, or just the daily grind of caregiving or caretaking? Maybe someone close to you, your spouse, your teenager, your elderly parent, told you they need more from you, and all you can think of is, I just don't have more to give.
Right.
You know, maybe you find yourself going through the motions at work, at home, even in your spiritual life, just checking boxes. Are you starting to resent the people and responsibilities that you used to love? Maybe you've tried taking a break or getting away, only to come back feeling just as exhausted as before, maybe even worse. Are you so focused on just getting through the day that you maybe feel like you've lost sight of why it matters? Well, we want to help you reignite your spark and reclaim the joy, meaning, and purpose in your life and relationships.
I also want to add that if you're dealing with somebody in your life who's in that place, in that burned out place, and their burnout is affecting you, they're always kind of slogging through things. They're always a little bit grumpy about life. They can't seem to see anything positive in your relationship, in the day, in whatever they're experiencing. That can really tear us down as well. And we kind of catch that burnout in a secondary way and don't really feel like we have any control over it because it's the other person's issue. There are things you can do even in that situation. So let's get rid of all this burnout. Let's get rid of all this stuff that's dragging us down and allow us to connect with the Holy Spirit, find more grace and more inspiration in our lives, and be able to change those circumstances for the better. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Today's show titled, I Just Can't Even. And we're talking about burnout. Whether it's yours or someone you care about, we want to help you bounce back. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we talk about the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, you know, how could some theology possibly help me deal with burnout? Well, you might be surprised. So, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, for example, mm-hmm. scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about living an abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us, and I think this is so important in these particular times, is that we're created for connection, not just productivity. Can you imagine? When we're burned out, it isn't just that we've run out of energy. It's that we've lost connection to the meaning that makes the effort worthwhile. Burnout is effort minus meaning. When we lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing, even small tasks can feel crushing.
And that's the mistake most people make in treating burnout. They think, as we were talking about, the answer is rest, you know, get away, do a little self-care, take a bath, you know, take a walk, whatever, recharge. But research actually tells us something surprising. When we lean too heavily on getting away, not that self-care is a bad thing, but when we lean too heavily on that, we often come back feeling worse because the pile's bigger and nothing's changed. The cure for burnout isn't really leisure. It's meaningfulness. When what we're doing feels meaningless, you can't fill your task, you can't fill your tank fast enough because there's an existential hole in the bottom of it draining you dry.
That's an existential hole. You really got me there. So if you're in that place right now with an existential hole and you have that burned out feeling, it isn't a sign that God has abandoned you. It's your soul telling you something true, that you were made for more than surviving your life. That restlessness is the Holy Spirit inviting you back to the purpose He wove into what you're carrying.
So the path back to being re-energized from burnout starts with reconnection, not escape. We need to look for ways to reconnect with the why we chose to do whatever it is we do in the first place. To look for ways to recognize that the thing we're doing is a blessing to the people in our life and how it facilitates that connection with them. We want to find ways to increase our awareness of both of those things and bring the burnout to God. You know, Lord, I'm running on fumes. Help me remember why this matters and how you want me to approach this in a way that will be life-giving for me and the people around me. And then, and this is kind of counterintuitive, we need to look for ways we can bring a little bit more of our heart to the task instead of just going through the motions. Because the way out of burnout isn't doing less, it's re-engaging with the why and approaching what we're doing with a little more creativity and relationship. And that's how we come back. So let's talk it out. on our show today titled, I Just Can't Even. If you're feeling burned out in a task that you're doing or a relationship that you're in, or if you're in a relationship with somebody who is kind of burned out and you're not sure how to support them, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where we just are feeling burned out. Those relationships, those roles, those tasks or jobs that we just feel like we're going through the motions every day. We give you those situations and we ask you to help us to reignite the spark in our lives, to recharge our batteries, to help us to find the meaning in the effort that we're making, to help us to reconnect with the ways that what we're doing is blessing the people around us and helping us to connect in meaningful ways with the people around us. And if we are struggling in that area, help us to see ways to approach those tasks that do seem more meaningful, that will bring more of our hearts and our gifts to the task, that will enable us to make stronger connections so that we're not just producing and being busy, but that everything that we do is leading us into deeper connection with you, the people that you've placed in our lives, and the meaning for which we were created. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Today on More to Life, we are talking about burnout on our show titled, I Just Can't Even. If you're feeling burned out in a task or a relationship, because burnout is effort minus meaning, and sometimes we can work a lot on a relationship or some situation and just get less and less and less out of it. If that sounds like where you're at, let's talk about how to reignite the spark and reclaim the joy, meaning, and purpose in your life and relationships that God wants for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Brian, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hey, Brian, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. What's going on, man?
Hey, so a lot of the things that I've done have been across the country, various different jobs and various different industries, and it seems that no matter what I end up doing or where I end up going, I always end up with a similar or pretty much the same result where I'm struggling to make ends meet and fighting against financial pressures, and really doesn't seem like I'll be able to make it to where I want to go. And so every time I start out at a new job and get something going and keep grinding, you know, keep my nose to the grindstone, I always end up basically back where I started, or sometimes even worse than when I did start. So I'm really struggling to find some kind of motivation to keep pushing through, trying to contribute more to a.
So when you say where you're trying to go, I guess I have a couple of questions. So first of all, when you say when you're trying to get where you want to go, do you mean that financially? Do you mean that like career wise? Like what is it that you're working toward exactly?
It's not necessarily a financial or a career goal. It's more of a stability. Like I would like to have. I'll give you my pie in the sky plan, basically. A wife, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, a house out in the middle of, hopefully in the middle of nowhere, but not necessarily, it doesn't have to be.
I hear you.
But I want some stability in my life. And a lot of this work that I've been doing has not contributed to a stable financial or comfortable position in where I
so
don't
my
have
second
to,
question, Brian. My second question is, do other people in the work that you're doing have that stability, or is that something that does not exist at all in the work that you're doing?
Well, in the different industries that I've done, some people have it, usually in higher management positions. But oftentimes, almost all of my coworkers don't have any sort of stability.
Okay.
They're all paycheck to paycheck and struggling to make ends meet.
Okay. And in terms of the work that you're doing, do you feel like it's meaningful for you, that it's using your gifts in some way that's enabling you to, you know, to connect with others, to be a blessing to others?
Sometimes. So, for example, I've done a lot of different work with my hands. A lot of times I can see the things that I put together go out into the world and make people's lives better, and that does help. But it feels kind of ultimately like a zero, a non-zero sum game, you know, like I sometimes feel good for putting something out into the world and it helps other people. But if I'm still struggling on my side, just to be able to even make the thing, does it help?
Yeah. Okay, so look, I wish I could find a way to just kind of help you financially right away, so the things I'm going to say, you know, aren't going to necessarily fit that bill, and I hope it doesn't sound too academic, but I think that the framework that I'm going to offer you is going to help clarify a way forward. Okay, you know, because there's a lot of struggle in life and in work, and there are more people than ever who are struggling to pay bills and make ends meet and do more than live from paycheck to paycheck. And so I just want to acknowledge the seriousness of that and how really common that is. That doesn't make it any easier, but I want you to know that you're not alone in that. But I think that there are a couple of things that you want to focus on. Number one, in the broader picture, okay, life is a whole lot easier and work is a whole lot more rewarding when we can focus on three things: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. How does what I'm doing use my gifts, let me use my gifts to be a blessing to others? How does what I'm doing lead me into relationship with others? And thirdly, how is what I'm doing challenging me to grow, to become a stronger, healthier, godlier person, right? And that's not just by accident. I have to kind of lean into those things. I have to say, you know, how am I approaching this task, whatever the task is, in a way that really does use my gifts in a way that blesses others, that leads to the kind of balance in my life that allows me the time I need to pursue relationships with people and to make connection with the people that I'm working with or the people that I want to build a relationship with in the church or my life. And then thirdly, you know, how can I approach this in a way that really challenges me to grow? Okay. Now, you know, you said that sometimes you have that experience, but then whenever you're having a hard time financially or other practical areas of your life, it's hard to kind of hold on to that. And I get that. So that's fair. The second piece of this, in addition to meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, is looking at where do I want to be? You know, where ultimately do I want to be? Right. So you're saying that there are people in your career path who do have some stability. They're just at a different level of position than you are. So the next question you have to ask yourself is, what are small steps I can take every day to work toward that goal, to get to that place? Because if what you're saying is you want stability, you're not going to get it by staying where you're at, right? You're gonna have to be asking yourself every day, what is some small thing I can do to get there? Now, when I say small thing, that's really important, because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll say, well, I have to go back to school, or I have to do this big thing, right? You want to start by just telling the people in those positions, hey, I'd really like to, you know, eventually be in a similar position one day. Would you be willing to mentor me? Or you know, just building relationships with those people and you're associating with them, and they start seeing you in a different light. You know, that you are watching videos online to learn more about the thing. So even if you can't go back to school or take time off to do the big program or whatever, you're learning skills. You're asking yourself, what's one small thing I can do every day to take a tiny step even toward that ultimate goal of being in the position that would give me the stability that I'm looking for? Which also feeds back into the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue framework, right? Because as you're learning those things, you're learning how you can work more in ways that are meaningful, that allow you to be more of a blessing to others, that enable you to make connections and build relationship that will be fruitful and challenge you in ways that bring out new things in you. And that's what ultimately leads to that meaningfulness. Like I said, when I started this, I'm not going to have you an easy answer where you're going to wake up tomorrow and everything's going to be different. But I promise you, if you lean into this framework of both the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue qualities, and looking toward the place that you need to be to get the stability you're looking for, and asking yourself, what's one tiny thing I can do every day to work toward that, you will get to where you need to be.
The only other thing I want to add to that, Brian, because I 100% am on the same page with Greg and what he's saying to you, is you said you want to have a wife and children and a place to live. Don't allow the struggles you're having financially right now keep you from forming relationships that could lead to that. You know, make sure you're joining church groups. Make sure that you're, you know, getting to know people who could lead you to the kind of woman you'd want to spend the rest of your life with. That alone will start making more, you know, connections and give you a place besides just heading for this financial target.
And as we're both talking, I realize that this I was implicitly thinking this, but I need to say it explicitly. This all has to be rooted in prayer.
Yes.
Okay? It's okay every day. It's okay, Lord, this is what's on my heart. Show me how to get there. This is what I'm longing for, this stability. I'm longing for more meaningfulness. Show me how to do this. Then lean into those things that framework I was telling you about, but keep bringing it back to prayer, where you're saying, okay, today, Lord, how can I live for more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue? And what's one tiny step you want me to take to get toward that goal that you have on my heart? The more you lean into that, the more steady progress you're going to see toward that end goal. I'm going to also encourage you to pick up a copy of The Life God Wants You to Have. You can either pick it up online, you know, wherever books are sold, or get it from the library if you like. But it's The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about this kind of discernment and really figuring out what is the next chapter that God has in your life. I think it'll be a real great resource for you. Brian, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that this framework will give you a sense of where to move and how to keep moving forward toward those goals that God's placed on your heart. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, and he'll be sharing some insights that he's been passing on to some students that he's got to help them develop that well-balanced, burnout-free life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, I just can't even, as we talk about burnout. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue. He is with the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both.
And you wanted to share an insight from Pope Benedict, first of all, that you felt was relevant to the whole thing, and then also talk about a project that you're working on with some teenagers.
Yes. My students from Homeschool Connections, a wonderful online platform for homeschool students. I teach Theology of the Body a couple of semesters to these young people. So first, a quote from Pope Benedict, and I love the topic because I'm really good at burnout myself, personally, and I need to talk about this. topic. So Pope Benedict, this was a general audience from 2011. He said, each one of us needs time and space for recollection, meditation, and calmness. In fact, this need tells us that we are not made for work alone, but also to think, reflect, or simply follow with our minds and our hearts a tale, a story in which to immerse ourselves, to lose ourselves, and find ourselves enriched. I love that quote. I go back to that quote. I think when we burn out, it's because we've zeroed in on the micro issues and we've lost the big picture. And so my project for my students was to do just that. We walked through the theology of the body for 2 semesters. We looked at our origin, our history, our destiny, and our vocation to love. And my teenagers loved John Paul II's great story of our humanity. So my project was, you guys have to stay in this great story, get enriched. So look at the chapters of the great drama, our origin, original man, our history, historical man, and our destiny, eschatological man, and find pieces of poetry, stories, paintings, movie clips, music you listen to that remind you of your origin, your history, and your destiny as we've studied it. And boy, the kids loved it. They pulled out all sorts of stuff from Pavarotti to country music, great movies and works of art that would feed their souls. And I loved the project myself, and I loved how my students loved it, getting refreshed in the great story.
Well, I think that's a great reminder to all of our listeners as a way to reconnect with the meaning in their lives by really looking for those things that remind us of our story, where we come from, who we are, and where God's ultimately leading us. Bill, I want to thank you for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the Theology of the Body Institute, they can go to tobinstitute.org. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825 on our show on burnout titled I Just Can't Even. If that's how you're feeling these days, let's talk it out and help you find ways to re-energize. 877-573-7825.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God. But not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, I just can't even. We're talking about burnout, that effort minus meaning that tends to cause us to feel drained, even when we try to get breaks or do self-care. How can we get that spark back? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Amy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia.
On Quest Catholic Radio. Hey, Amy, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Thank you. I'm one of those moms that you guys were talking about, and that has been the biggest problem in my life for years now. I have 4 kids, 7, 9, 12, and 15. And I just, like, my husband and I have been so burnt out with all the activities that are all good, you know? And when we're trying to think of taking something away, it's like, oh, well, that's good, you know? And it's like trying to figure out, like, if we need to take something off the plate is so difficult. And I've been praying about it and just, like, I've been stuck, and I have had no peace. I don't enjoy my children anymore most of the time. I'm always trying to get away from them, and I'm like, the last time I really felt good was during COVID when we had to
when you were all together.
We were reading books constantly together, and, you know, we just went to the beach on a vacation, and I'm like you. Like you said, I always come back wanting to go on vacation again immediately. But that was the one time when I was like, we were looking at shells together. We were researching the shells, and we actually got to sit down for a minute. But otherwise, there's no time. We're running from one thing to another, you know, and I feel like I'm trying to check off boxes. Like, they need to do ballet. They're learning. They need to get exercise. Then school. Then, you know, then they need a sport. Like, am I checking off this box, that box? And I was trying to homeschool.
Let me ask you this. I want to explore that just a second. And I'm not just asking you this. I'm not, because you know what? You and about 10 billion other parents
you just literally made a billion moms turn up the volume and say, this is me. Thanks for calling in and saying what I needed
to
say.
So no pressure, but I'm going to ask you that question that really kind of applies to all the folks in this situation. Why? Like, when you say they need to do
ballet,
these things,
they need sports.
What's the story going through your head that if I don't let them do those things, then what? What's the bad thing that's going to happen? Whether you think it's rational or not, don't edit yourself. Just whatever comes to mind.
So a couple of things. Like, one is they're not going to be well-rounded. 2 is they're not going to get enough exercise. 3, they're not going to be around enough other kids and make friends, because we don't have a lot of kids in our neighborhood, very few. They're just not going to learn new skills. And I'm not making them learn an instrument. I'm not making them learn a new, you know, a dance. They're not going to have a good identity, you know, and I realize their main identity needs to be as children of God, you know, but I still feel like I need to fill out the resume, you know,
Identity. No, I get that. And there's a whole kind of FOMO thing, right? A whole fear of missing out. If I don't let my kids do all the things, then they're gonna miss out somehow, and I will have failed.
But I have to say, as a mom, okay, who went through this, all right, I've got kids who now have master's degrees. They succeeded. They got into college. They got the scholarships. We did all this. I'm going to tell you, Amy, it was a great process to find out as I was raising them that if you really look at what colleges are looking for now, they're not looking for the resume. They're looking for somebody who's passionate about one or two things. And
who's a real person.
And is a real
who
person
who knows how to connect with people.
Yes.
And communicate. And where do we learn that? In family life.
That's right. So you can end up with a kid who has a zillion A's and a zillion sports, and a college will say, I've got a zillion of those.
That's, yeah.
Give me somebody who can connect, who can talk with somebody, who can have relationships, and has a passion for one thing in life.
It's so funny. I haven't posted it yet, but right before the show, we have this Catholic Home app. It's Catholic H-O-M. Where we support families in really living out what we call the liturgy of domestic church life. And it's 12 habits that research showed that Catholic families who have much closer relationships than average and who end up raising all their kids to faithful adulthood practice in their homes. And so we support families in living out these habits. And the very first one is prioritize family time. To treat family time as the most important activity in the schedule and then schedule everything else around it. The Catholic families who are the happiest and who do the best job, and there are no guarantees, of course, but they do the best job of raising faithful kids, the kind of kids that we all want to raise, prioritize family time. They say, look, the most important thing is getting some kind of regular family meals, getting some kind of family day, maybe a game night, and then whatever else we can fit in around that stuff, fine.
And that's also what makes momming, being a parent, feel satisfying and fulfilling. Because right now, what you're saying, Amy, and I totally get where you're at, okay, is you don't even enjoy your children anymore. Why? Because you don't know them. You're out of sync with each other.
How
but
could you,
when
right?
When you were home and you were reading books together, oh my goodness, not only did you have time together, but you were sharing stories where now you had all these sort of virtual, if you will, friends in this book, these characters that you could talk about during the day. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think about their choices? You probably went on walks together. That would take care of your exercise issues right there. You need to connect with one another. And you need to remember that there are only a few relationships that will last a lifetime. And it's usually not our classmates. It's our family relationships and our relationship with God. And so when your kids leave, you know, think about what you're going to be missing because you didn't have the time for it. And make those things that priority now.
I'll also throw out here, you know, and I'm not knocking any activities, right? I'm not knocking any of this. But you know, we think that, for example, by having our kids participate in team sports, that somehow we're teaching them to have a healthy, balanced exercise, you know, well, you know, exercise life. That doesn't work because as adults, we don't play team sports.
Yeah, you can't.
So what do? You sit and you watch it on television and you get fat. Right? No.
But when you're out walking with your family, when you're bicycling, when maybe your family takes up tennis so you could do it together or something, that's something that connects you to each other and can last a lifetime. So if you want sports in your child's life, pick a lifelong sport, but not something they always have to compete
in. And maybe something you can do as a family.
Joy, exactly.
And I know this sounds crazy. I recognize that in today's world, what we're saying sounds completely insane, all right? But this is the way to raise a healthy, well-balanced person, because when you put relationship first and family time first, you're raising a person who knows how to connect with people and who knows how to be a person instead of a human doing. And that's what we need to do. Because when we prioritize family relationships first and then, you know, pepper it with other activities and things here and there, we raise a well-rounded person who knows how to communicate and relate and be a person who has passions, as opposed to this person who just does a whole lot of stuff and never knows what how to have a balance or what to focus on.
And that we're all focused on this fake resume that's
coming. You just came back from vacation,
somewhere.
And I want you to give yourself permission, because I believe with all my heart that God wants to give families permission to recreate that in your daily life. To say, you know what, we're going to prioritize connection. And we're going to step back from a lot of these activities, guys. And if you had to pick one thing that you were absolutely passionate about, what would that be? We're going to try to figure that out. But right now, we're going to just step back and really focus on getting a couple of meals as a family a week, a family day where we can just kind of do stuff together, and maybe a game night.
And any other time that we want to have, you know, you might be experiencing this in your own heart, in your own mind, and yet your kids are dying for the same exact thing, connection to you, time at home to decompress, things that you share together where, yeah, you know, do have this family night and we're all building a puzzle together, or we're playing a game together, or we're going on walks together. Kids, it's very interesting. I mean, there was a brilliant study done years ago that, and not that many years ago, that one of the things that they found out is that when parents are just taking their kids to sports and showing up at their kids' sports, parents feel like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted, but they know I'm here. They know I'm supporting them.
We think
them.
That's family time.
They think it's family time. They think they've invested a ton in their kids. Then those same social scientists surveyed the kids. And all the kids, no matter their ages, whether they were 7 or whether they were 18 years old, all said the same thing. Oh, mom and dad are just there to hang out with their friends. It's not for me. They think that all this booster parenting is so that we as parents can get a social life. And face it, for all of us, there's a little bit of that. But guess what? Those relationships are not going to last a lifetime.
So that's not family time at all.
They're not benefiting from it. You're getting worn out. And I would strongly urge you, Amy, to sit down this week with the family and say, summer's coming. And this vacation really made me realize something. I miss you guys. I miss having time together. I miss enjoying the time we had when we were home during COVID, when we walked on the beach and had shells. Let's all talk about how we can make that happen in our everyday life, not just through the summer, as we plan the school year, and let them come up with some ways too.
And it doesn't have to be everything overnight. You can even start by saying, well, if we were going to make one small change, or a couple, or maybe you decide as a family you want to change it all. That's fine.
That might be the easiest way to do it.
But don't feel pressured to do that. So I want you to download the podcast of this show and play it for the whole family, okay? And use that as the springboard for your family meeting where you're talking and praying about this. I'm also going to suggest that you become a member, a subscriber to the Catholic Home community by downloading the Catholic HOM app. As I said, I haven't posted it yet even, but I was writing our weekly reflection on this exact topic. And we support families in doing exactly what we're asking you to do, or suggesting that maybe God is putting on your heart to do. Because it's hard. And this is really counterintuitive and countercultural, frankly. But it's the kind of mission that Catholic families are called to remind the world that it ain't about being a human doing. It's about relationship. It's about connection. It's about meaning, not just activity.
And it will remind the world, but the most important thing is it's going to bring your joy of being their mom back. It's going to make you all feel more connected. Because you know what? You got a parent past the resume. You've got a parent so you can say, I want a relationship with these people my whole life. I want a relationship with them where when they bring home their spouses, they can become my friends too. When they have children, I'm a part of that life because I'm putting in the connection time now. So let's parent past the resume, the trying to get into college, the trying to get them a job, and let's parent for joy and connection. And Amy, I really believe the Holy Spirit had you listen to this today and is putting that on your heart because God wants that change for you and your family.
Thanks for the call, Amy. And for Amy and all the parents out there, I know it sounds trite, but I want you to have the courage to listen to your heart.
Yes.
If you're missing your kids, if you're missing family life.
If they're getting on your last nerve because all you do is clean up after them, drive them places, and get food down their throat, and then you're all grumpy all the time, and you're not liking each other very much, that's also a sign.
Listen to that and change it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do what all the other crazy families on the street are doing. You can choose, you really can choose to prioritize family time and relationship. And if you're not sure how, we'll show you how on the Catholic Home app. Check it out. Catholic HOM. Download it today and become a subscriber. We'd love to support you in this because this is really the heart. Look, if especially as Catholic families, 90%, I'm not making this number up, right? There were two studies now. Our study that we did through Georgetown and another one that was done through the University of St. Thomas. 90% of children raised in Catholic households will leave the faith by the time they become adults. And the number one reason, again, this is the research talking, is because they don't have enough family time. Because they don't see their faith being played out in the home. They're so busy doing things that they don't see the faith making a difference in their daily lives.
Not just the family didn't get around to praying together, actually being part of a relationship. Because when we build relationship with our family members, our kids, our spouse, all of us together, that's when the Holy Spirit can creep in. That's where we get these little spark moments of being able to say, look how God showed up for us. Or let's pray together through this thing that we're struggling about. And that's the last thing I want to add to this, Amy. Don't walk into this family meeting and just issue edicts. Pray together. Say, you know, Lord, this is where my heart is. I want my family back. Help us to discern how we can do this, what you want us to be doing. Bring God into this, well, but also just bring everybody's ideas into this. Because if you're feeling it, there's a good chance they want their mom back too.
And you know, if you like, we have a format for how to do a family meeting with prayer and all of the questions on the Catholic Home app and on the downloadable section. So you can check that out too. All right, we are taking your calls today on More to Life. The show is titled "I Can't Even" as we talk about burnout. And we are looking at being burned out in relationships and burned out in work or burned out in tasks or just burned out in life, we want to help you get your spark back and reclaim the joy, meaning, and purpose in your life and relationships. Give us a call. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
And notice what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying, are you stressed out? Go take a bath. He's not saying, are you worked up? Go take a walk. Go on vacation. Those are all good things. I'm not knocking any of that. Right? What he's saying is, we need to learn how to work differently. We need to learn how to do differently. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Because what he's going to teach us to do is to do the things in a way that makes space for relationship, that makes time for reflection, that makes sure that we're doing what we're doing in a way that's meaningful. All the stuff that the world couldn't care less about and just reduces us to machines and human doings. The yoke that God is asking us to take on him is to learn, or take on ourselves, is to learn how to approach all the stuff we do in life in a way that leaves room for us to be human beings. I mean, even Pope Leo is talking about this in his new document on AI. You know, he's talking about the importance of remembering the dignity of the human person and how it's not just about producing more stuff and using tools in ways that help us produce more stuff. It's about all the stuff that's supposed to help us build connection to God and to others. And that's the yoke that God wants us to carry, that allows us to do whatever we do in a way that's life-giving and affirming and meaningful. All right, let's talk about how to make that work for you today on More to Life, on our show titled, I Just Can't Even, as we talk about recovering from burnout in our life, our relationships, our tasks.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
What qualifies as a valid marriage in the eyes of the Catholic Church? The Catechism tells us there are certain requirements that must be present or the marriage is not a true sacrament. The requirements are as follows. The marriage must be between a baptized man and a baptized woman who are free to contract marriage and who freely express their consent. The Catechism defines freedom to contract as not being under constraint and not impeded by any natural or ecclesiastical law. The exchange of consent between the spouses is considered by the Church to be the most indispensable element of a valid marriage. According to the Catechism, the consent must be an act of the will of each party, free of coercion or grave external fear. If this freedom is lacking, the marriage is not valid. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, I just can't even talk about burnout and how to bounce back. 877-573-7825.
Well, Cindy from Pennsylvania called in, and I want to make sure that we take her question because it's something that so many people are going through right now. She said that she's been caring for her mother for 15 years. Her mother's now 99 years old, and she's in assisted living now. And Cindy says she feels guilty that she had to do that, but she was getting burned out taking care of her. And she said, I know that she would be better off this way, but how do I get over the guilt, is her question.
Thank you. Cindy, thank you so much for the question, and bless you, you know, for being so committed to your mom's care for all this time, even now, right? You're still committed to her care. You still love your mom very, very much, and you want what's best for her, and that's why you've made the decisions that you've made. So superficially, you've identified a solution that's best for your mom because she's receiving the level of care that she needs from people who know how to provide for her. And it works for you because it's enabling you to take care of the things that you need to take care of in your life.
Including yourself a little bit, finally.
Which is not selfish, by the way. Well,
nope.
I'll come back around to that. And it also works for your relationship because instead of feeling resentful or stressed and frustrated with your mom, when you visit her, you're able to be fully present and pleasant with her. So superficially, this should all be great, right? When it's not great, it's because there's a story that's going on in the back of our heads. And usually in this case, the story is, I've failed my mom in some way. I'm a bad daughter. And again, I'm mind reading here, so forgive me if I'm going off on a tangent that doesn't apply. You can always call me back and correct me, and you know we can talk about it. But I used to do, in another lifetime, I used to do a lot of home health work as a medical social worker, and I would work with families who had a patient in hospice or home health care. And I talked to a lot of folks who were in your situation, who had made exactly the same decision for the kinds of reasons you made them. And when it got right down to it, very often the person in your position had this little part of them that in the back of their head said, if I could just jump through all the hoops, if I could just provide all the care, if I could be all the things for mom, I will finally get the love that I was looking for.
The approval, the love, yeah.
The affirmation. And I'm not saying that your mom didn't love you or didn't approve you, didn't affirm you, but I'm saying that there's always this little part of us, this little child part of us that wanted a little bit more. And feels like if I could just do the thing, then I will get that. And it's helpful to be able to identify whatever, whether that's the story or it's some other story. Okay, it's helpful to identify the story that's behind the guilt, and to really look and say, is this story helping me really provide the best care for my mom and be the person God's calling me to be? Or is it making it harder for me to make sure that mom's getting the best care she needs and me being the person God's calling me to be? Because if it's making it harder, that's the voice of the enemy. And we want to rebuke that and come against that and be able to say, you know, Lord, help me to really tune into the voice of your Holy Spirit, reminding me that I am your beautiful, beloved daughter, that I have done the right thing by my mom, and that I'm doing good by you. And to help me tune out the voice of the enemy that's telling me that I've failed and that I'm not somehow good enough and that I have to keep working for love somehow. I want you to follow through with that. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. But God bless you, Cindy, and thank you so much for your question. And listeners, if you are struggling with burnout in relationships or life or work, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life, in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.